Well, today our topic is transgenderism. But I found out apparently you're not supposed to use the term transgenderism because that sounds like a disease. You're supposed to have a transgender conversation. So, but you know what? I've kind of learned you can only like keep up with political correctness for so long. It changes by the month. So, for our purposes, we're going to talk about transgenderism. And I want to introduce you to guys. You guys know who Bruce Jenner is, okay? Now, how do you guys know Bruce Jenner?
He was a stud of the 70s.
He was a stud of the 70s, yeah.
He was an Olympian.
He was an Olympian, yeah, as a decathlete.
Picture on the Wheaties box.
Picture on the Wheaties box, yeah.
I heard about him, me and my sister, we used to, browse Wikipedia for fun. And we were, 8 years old.
Yes.
And then we found out about this guy, Bruce Jenner, and we were like, ew.
Yes.
It's so weird. Why did you do that?
I like how nobody has admitted to watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Right? But that's the other reason why he's super famous. What Kardashians? I never watched trash on TV. But, he kind of rose to fame because he won the decathlon in the 1976 Olympics. And as Steve said, he was a dude's dude. Very athletic, very good looking, and he was he had cameos on The Lowboat and every other 70s show that you would find. And so he kind of built quite a career, went through about 3 different marriages, and then he kind of had a resurgence because he married Kris Kardashian, and he ended up being the stepfather / father in the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And then, so I always knew Bruce Jenner is kind of a has-been actor / famous Olympian. And then in 2015, he had an interview with Diane Sawyer and basically told us that this guy who's been in our living room for so long, because he's a TV star, he said, I'm actually a woman. And everyone went, what? And it kind of shows you do you guys remember a time without transgenderism being an issue? Yeah, you were kind of on that. For me, I have all these books on ethics. Transgenderism has never come up, right? This is a brand new issue that has really turned into the civil rights cause of our era. But Bruce Jenner was the one who really brought it to the fore, and in 2015 he appeared as his new self, because the whole thing was his interview, this is the last time I'm going to appear as a man. And even then he had long hairs, wearing earrings and stuff, but he talked about this alternate persona of who he really is. And he appeared on the cover of Vanity Fair, and I remember actually showing the before picture of Bruce Jenner, kind of buffed out, carrying an American flag, winning the Olympics, and then the new picture. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? The 2015 Call Me Caitlin? Mm-hmm. And the audience in Brazil just went, because it was just striking and stunning. And so he ended up going on kind of a victory tour. He won the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. He became a celebrated, probably the most famous transgender person. That's probably the most famous transition in history. I know Ellen Page, I think that's her name. She's another Hollywood star that's now fully transitioned to becoming a man. Now, that might be the other one that might rival in popularity. But how could somebody argue that Jenner is a woman? We do have some seats in the front if you're brave enough. But how could somebody argue that Bruce / Caitlyn Jenner, we'll just call him Jenner, is a woman? How could somebody make that argument?
They argue that gender is not physical.
Okay, so they argue that gender is not physical. Okay, so that is key term number one, is gender. We'll have to get into. Yeah, so they'd argue that gender's not physical. How else would you argue that Olympia.
Somebody could argue, because of all the cosmetic surgery that he has gone under, that he looks like a woman, so he is a woman.
Okay. He looks like a woman, presents himself as a woman.
If he feels like a woman, then he is a woman.
Yeah, I feel, yeah, he feels like a woman.
He's manipulated
hormones. Okay. Yeah, so a lot of the estrogen, right? I mean, and you can, I mean, for adults here, right? You could grow, if a man takes enough estrogen, he could actually grow breast.
I think ultimately, at the key of the argument, it's less about the science of it and more about the denial that anybody gets to define anything.
Okay.
And so, just I think at the core of it is saying, who are you to define woman? Anybody can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
As long as that whatever they want doesn't interfere with my concept of
morale. So there's kind of a self-expression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who you really are is who you really feel yourself to be. Yeah. Yeah. John.
Part of that is severing the concept of gender from sex.
Okay.
So it's really severing. They say there's no relationship, that's necessary relationship between physical sex and gender identity. It's like something fundamentally different.
Yeah. So there is a severing of gender and sex. Okay. Yeah. Other thoughts about how you can argue that he's a woman? Okay, so how is transgender, because we have like the initials, right? L, G, B, and now all of a sudden we have T. How do you explain this alliance here? Yeah, Judy.
I would say they're all in rebellion against God's plan.
Yep, and that is true. They wouldn't define.
God's plan was for us to procreate.
Yeah.
And in any of those situations, mm-hmm. you've done away with that.
Okay. So these are, by and large, non-procreative, right? So that might be something they have in common. And I'm kind of looking for why would they say they're an alliance? Yeah.
I mean, how it's been defined to me is that the L, the G, and the B, they all, well, the B likes both,
mm-hmm.
and then lesbians, they like, essentially the lesbians and gays, they like their same sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then transgender, they are individuals who transition to the opposite gender.
Okay.
And that's usually how it's been explained to me, but I don't know.
Know how they come together. What do you think, Ed?
Well, it's all in defiance of, like, the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how I end up saying it.
Okay. Defining the norm, and the norm being?
Like, straight and...
Okay.
Heteronormativity.
Heteronormativity. Okay, we got Naomi, then Diana. Okay, Naomi?
I think Andy said what I was going
to
say.
Okay, Diana, what do you
mean? Well, it's like if you're a man attracted to a woman, and then you transition into a woman, you're still attracted to women, so now you'd be considered lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an interesting point that we're going to explore.
I think they'd all claim that they were born with the wrong
mm-hmm.
body.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, like, lesbians would say they would consider themselves still a female, but they were born in the wrong body because they're attracted to females.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas transgender, same situation, but they would then transition into the gender that they think they should be in. So they all would claim that they were born under
mm-hmm.
the wrong body. There was a defect in the manufacturing
mm-hmm.
when God created them.
Okay. You going to add something to that?
Yeah. I would just say they would say that whatever the desire is, they were born with that desire.
Okay. So,
yeah, I mean, pretty much what she said. But
yeah.
I think all of them, their identity is rooted in their sexuality and what they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They would all define themselves as queer.
Queering, yeah, queering the norms.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some arguments that were, that the born this way kind of biological argument was that stepping stone to get to where they're turning away from, I was
mm-hmm.
born this way to, I ought to be able to be anything that I want, regardless
yeah.
of my biology.
Okay.
So that's a little bit different where,
yeah.
Say, transgenderism has kind of taken that argument and they're breaking away of sex is a biological thing.
Yeah.
Gender is something totally different. And so they want to be no longer defined
mm-hmm.
by any sort of biological.
Okay.
Regardless of how you're born,
yeah.
a person should be able to be whatever they want. So the desire is elevated above
okay.
even the belt. I mean,
yeah,
it depends who you ask.
And you're kind of building on this element here where sex is biological. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's basically putting like self above God, which is, I think, is ultimately
okay.
like the problem with this is that it exalts what I want. What I want, and I don't
mm-hmm.
care what God wants for me or my body.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh?
As a category, now stands simply like total sexual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And the letters are apart from heterosexuality. So you have sort of divide being heterosexual on one side.
Yeah.
Then sexual freedom is kind of all the letters.
Uh-huh.
The physical piece, it used to be 10, 20 years ago, it was argued physically, you're born this way or something wrong, but that's not really the argument anymore, not consistently at least. But it's confusing because the arguments do go back to that at times. So sometimes you're discussing a moving target.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they would also all see themselves as oppressed minorities.
Yeah.
So you have that kind of social Marxist
mm-hmm.
element.
Yeah.
To it too.
Some of those, yeah, well.
It all comes down to letting go of biblical truth.
Mm-hmm.
LGBT.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing I like what you said about how it's kind of a, like, God expresses himself in creation, right? Right, there is a certain truth, right? You have male or female genitalia. That is an undeniable fact. I'm going to leave out the intersex issue for now. But yeah, there's, like, what trumps reality, right? What defines reality? Does my sex define my gender? Or does my gender define my sex? Does that make sense? And you know, people have kind of shown that over a period of time, there's kind of the rise of modern man is my true self is who I perceive myself to be. You know, there's a discovery of my true self. It's psychological man. I am what I feel. My feelings are the deepest indicator of who I really am. It's not defined by something external to me, right? But my reality, my identity is defined by what's internal to me. And so really sex is external to you, right? You know, you're just born with what you have, right? That's, you can't really change that. So there's a different way of looking at reality now where the transgender moment, I think, really brings that up. But then you get into kind of the other issues. How are these guys different?
When you're lesbian or gay, if you were to transition,
mm-hmm.
but like if you were a woman and transitioning to a man, then you're still liking the women.
Yeah.
And so technically then you're straight.
Yeah.
So then there's a
That's an interesting reality, isn't it? Right? So to be gay, what's the definition of somebody who is gay? Yeah, it's a male attracted to a male. Definition of a lesbian? Female attracted to a female. Yeah, go ahead.
So I've actually seen a change in that, where it's gotten to the point where there are people who identify as he/him lesbians.
Yeah.
Which is...
so they're basically, they say I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
Well, I'm a lesbian, and I was a woman, but now I'm a man, but I'm still a lesbian. Because you don't get to define how I
okay.
like how this
yeah.
works.
Yeah.
I get to define my own rules. There's a notorious comment online where somebody said, if I don't get a PlayStation for this Christmas, I'm going to explain he/him lesbians to my grandpa at the dinner table. And so it's become this like culturally accepted thing, especially in the younger movement. It's even become like
okay.
a joke. It's so accepted that
yeah.
they just there's no rules anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I said prior to the transgenderism thing kind of becoming a thing, LGB wouldn't have really disagreed on the gender sex issue. It
mm-hmm.
would have just been pretty accepted that
yeah.
I'm a man and I'm attracted to male or vice versa. And the transgenderism really changed to getting into this gender sex issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that thoughtful like gay men and lesbians are starting to realize, like the definition of being a gay man is I am a man, right? That's a fixed category, who's attracted to another man. Now, if gender is fluid, and there's no what we call gender binary between male and female, then this guy disappears, right?
Yeah.
If there's no, if you can be a lesbian in a committed lesbian relationship and your girlfriend becomes a man, then you're no longer a lesbian anymore, and that kind of gets taken out, right? If bisexuality says I'm attracted to two different genders, then that gets taken out. So in some ways, transgenderism is like this universal asset that takes away all distinctions. So even some thoughtful people on the left, Andrew Sullivan being one of them, you know, has some issues with this divide, because what they're finding is many people who experiment with transgenderism, if that didn't happen, right, if they didn't experiment with that, they would just grow up to become gay men or lesbian women, right? You know, so that's kind of what they're finding. So transgenderism, it's a commentary on just the new modern thought that we have. But it's also an issue that's rising to prominence, and a lot of people don't quite know what to do with it. And so what I'm hoping to do, you know, I kind of have like this intro. Now, Bruce Jenner is not your typical cross-dressing gender bender. He is a conservative. Like, he actually came across, he actually said that, which shocked everybody. He's a conservative Republican and claims to be a Christian. In fact, he says to Diane Sawyer, I would sit in church and always wonder, in God's eyes, how does he see me, right? So that's kind of the question of the hour, right? How does God see these transgendered souls? So what we're going to do is we're going to define what is transgenderism and then talk about why talk about transgenderism. What does the Bible say about transgenderism, and how do we minister to a transgendered person, okay? So we're going to talk about what is it. And this is for, like, the older generation, too, because this is, like, what happened? How did this take place, right? So these are things that I got from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, WebMD. I consulted the Human Rights Campaign. So I'm trying to allow them to use their own language to define themselves, fairness to them, just so you know. So a transgender person, transgender is a person who identifies with or expresses gender identity that differs from the one which corresponds to the person's sex at birth, okay? So why do they have to distinguish between sex and gender? Why is that necessary?
Because they don't believe that gender and sex are the same.
Okay.
Also, sex is biological and doesn't prove it. Like, mm-hmm. You can't really say there is no sex when there's... I mean, yeah. All the scientific evidence points to sex.
Okay.
So you have to change the, you have to change basically the terms and change the ground rules, basically.
Okay. Will?
I think it was the same thing he said about science. Scientifically, you can't change your chromosomes. You're mm-hmm. still going to have XY chromosomes.
Yeah.
Even if you want to have XX, you can't scientifically. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and so to be trans, right, it's like to cross, right, trans. You have to have, by definition, a incongruity between your biological sex and your gender. Okay? So, looking at the, I guess to engage in the transgender debate, it's important to understand the terms. At the root of the ideology is the belief that gender is not binary but fluid. So we'll consider the definitions from the Human Rights Campaign. So the sex refers to the designation of a person at birth as either male or female based on their anatomy, reproductive organs, and or their biology, which are hormones. So it's a boy, it's a girl. When you have a gender reveal party, right, that should actually, in their mind, be a sex reveal party because we don't know their gender yet, okay? And then you have gender refers to the traditional or stereotypical roles, behaviors, activities, and attributes that a given society considers appropriate for men and women. So with these two definitions in place, we can evaluate the following term. So then you have gender dysphoria. This refers to the experiences of gender identity in which a person's psychological and emotional sense of themselves as female, for instance, does not match or align with their birth sex as male or vice versa. So again, we have like gender and sex. We have a really a dichotomy between the soul and the body, right? And when the gender and the sex don't match, that is dysphoria. When you see yourself and what your body tells you, when they have that different message, that's dysphoria. That's very traumatic, difficult. Now, we can tell a person's sex pretty easily, right? But how do you discover your gender? So that is kind of the question of the hour. So they say there's no gender binary, but then they use a gender binary to define their gender. And so these are some of the questions. You know, this is how you can tell if you have gender dysphoria. If a child has it. Consistently saying that they're really a girl, even though they have the physical traits of a boy, or really a boy, if they have the physical traits of a girl. Strongly preferring friends of the sex with which they identify. Rejecting clothes, toys, and games typical for boys or girls. Refusing to urinate in a way, standing or sitting, that other boys or girls typically do. Saying they want to get rid of their genitals and have the genitals of their true sex. Believing that even though they have the physical traits of a girl, they will grow up to be a man, or believing if they have the physical traits of a boy, they will still be a woman when they grow up. Having extreme distress about body changes that happen during puberty. In teens, it shows itself in certainty that their true gender is not aligned with their body, disgust with their genitals. They may avoid showering, changing clothes, or having sex in order to avoid seeing or touching their genitals. Strong desire to be rid of their genitals or other sex traits. Okay, any questions about that? Yeah, Naomi.
How long, this is like the current definition of gender dysphoria,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long, how far into the past this definition has gone?
I think it's been around for a while.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to go, because there has been transgender people in the past, but they've been a pretty small
yeah.
minority. And this would be different from being a transvestite.
Yeah.
Yeah, a transvestite would be a man who acts like a woman because of a sexual fetish.
Yeah.
This is like, it's not sexual in nature so much as an identity. There, that's a good question, but I think it has been around for a while, like I'd say maybe since the 80s.
Okay. Now I'm just wondering.
Although there was a tennis star in the 70s who transitioned. Started, so I'd say that might be the first known one that I can remember. What were you gonna say?
I think I'm just trying to understand, you know, as a culture speaks a new language.
Yeah.
And people are exposed
mm-hmm.
to new ideas,
uh-huh.
it filters down. And so I think I was just curious as to how long these definite, how the current conversation has shaped these categories.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know when gender dysphoria came out, but I do know there was a tennis player in the 70s who transitioned and actually competed as a woman's tennis player. Yeah.
Well, I know it is a spiritual matter. Everything is a spiritual matter. So
yeah.
Going back, if we see in history, the Temple of Diana, that was one of the things that they wanted to express for their proselytes, was that to transform from male to female. That was
yeah.
a cultic, and even back before that. So
yeah.
It is a demonic deception that is
yeah.
being enforced today.
Yeah, and it's facilitated by technology. That would be the other thing I'd look at. First sex change surgery. 70s? I don't know. Somebody want to Google that for me?
It's the 1950s.
1950s, okay. So yeah, so probably as long as they've had the sex change surgery, it became a realistic option for them, so in the 1950s. Yeah.
So actually, because I got forced into a lot of talks about this in high school, It's officially, it's the LGBTTQIA.
TTT.
So transgender, transvestite, transsexual.
There's too many. Another T.
They're just adding T's. But and another interesting thing I've noticed is that there are, I have friends who would consider themselves asexual. They just have no sexual desire whatsoever. And they're pretty unhappy being shoved into that category. But they're told that they're part of that category and they're not allowed to. So even within this concept of, oh, I don't feel comfortable in the category that you define me as, in order to further boost their own agenda, they will force other people into this category with them and try to say, look at us, we're the same. And again, I've never met any individual who is intersex, which is what the I stands for, but I have had multiple friends who just don't have sexual attraction and they are very unhappy, whether believers or unbelievers, because I've had both, were both very unhappy with being put into that category. And yet there's nothing they can do about it because they're told that they're part of that category.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing because it's like nobody can tell me who I am or what I do, but they have to kind of coalesce around something to form a political movement to kind of get that.
And they're trying to include everybody in it too, to create two. There's either for or against, because they've recently added an A, which stands for allies. So you are an ally of all of them, or
I can have a letter.
Or you're an enemy.
Yeah, I guess I'm an E.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like you have group after group after group after group. But it's to coalesce into some sort of alliance and movement to accomplish some of the political aims, which we're not quite there yet. Then you have transitioning, the process of becoming some transgender people go through to begin living as a gender with which they identify, rather than the sex assigned to them at birth. This may or may not include hormone therapy, sex reassignment surgery, and other medical procedures. You have two abbreviations, male to female, male to female, or female to female, or female to male, so MTF or FTM. So, and I think when they say like a trans male means birth female. Trans female equals birth male. Does that make sense? Okay, just trying to understand them on their own terms. But why is it important for transgender advocates to sever gender from sex?
I think they want to sever it from the biological standpoint. Because like when I was taught the difference between like biological sex and gender, I was taught being like, that's biological sex, what you're born with. And like gender is like male, female. So like how, like, you know, and so I was taught that way. And
when were you taught that, by the way?
I was taught that, I want to say like maybe middle school is like the time where they were teaching us about all, like all this, because it was like a part of the like sex education, I guess, in my middle school. But I was also taught it pretty like young by my parents, being like, you go to this bathroom because you are a girl, you don't go to that bathroom because that's for boys. It's like, got it. So like so I was like, I think it's important for transgender advocates to separate it, because if you separate the biological standpoint, then all you have is the social standpoint, which is gender being like, so female, male, and so have that, and then
gender is just a lot more obscure than sex, not as clearly defined. It's a lot easier to twist gender than sex when you separate the two.
It's very subjective, right? Now what's more changeable, sex or gender?
You're looking at it socially
from
now.
Their
gender
as
defined. From their standpoint.
Yeah, from their standpoint, it's easier to change the sex than to change the gender. Now, Will kind of did us a service here, right? Like, what goes into our sex? Obviously, you have genitalia, right? But every chromosome in your body, if it has a Y or doesn't have why it's determinative. Now, there is such a thing as intersex. Now, well, you know, some people are born with XXY. Famous person who's born that way is Jamie Lee Curtis, incidentally. Isn't it? Yeah, and like one out of 2,000 births will have maybe, there might actually have both genitalia, right? So that's a very rare, but keep in mind, when people bring that up, the intersex, they're really talking about this, right? That's not a transgender discussion, okay? They're talking about sex and really birth defects, right?
Yeah.
Transgender is when people try to more, you know, believe that this is the expression, not this. So intersex and all the appeals to intersex, that is outside of their concept of what makes somebody transgender. Does that make sense? So we can acknowledge that people are intersex, but they are biologically born differently, and that's a biological issue. And they have a lot better job of like testing hormones, chromosomes, and stuff like that to decide which one is your actual gender. But yeah, the biblical understanding we'll get to is your sex defines your gender, because your sex is given to you by God, who created each and every one of you, right? So they may not say that they're going against creation, they're going against nature, but it's really the same thing. It's, what's more real is who I perceive myself to be than some objective reality of my genitalia. Okay, so that's kind of the real issue there. Okay, any questions about that? So if you believe that the sex is fixed and the gender is fluid, how would you help those people? Who are struggling with gender dysphoria? If you believe that sex is fixed and gender is fluid, how would you help those people?
I think it depends partly on what.
Yeah, go ahead, Pam.
Because my mother.
Oh.
She just pointed
out. Missed
at me
both at once, right? Okay.
I think it depends on where they're at in life.
Yeah.
With adults, it might be a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer to a lot of children and teenagers, obviously we don't want to just simplify it too much, but ultimately it comes down to weight. In the sense that a lot of the times...
W-A-I-T?
Yes, W-A-I-T.
Okay.
Yes, not put weight, like drop a piano on them.
Okay.
Like, give it time.
Okay.
I remember growing up, I hated my body. Right? Like, I think most of us at some point or another hated our bodies a little bit.
Yeah.
I think, obviously we're at a time where they're changing and it's uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't feel right,
mm-hmm.
because on some level it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of the times it's easy for us to be like, well, clearly because something's not right, you know, there's something wrong with who I fundamentally am.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, but also, I mean, if there's something wrong with fundamentally with who you are, ultimately it's probably going to be sin.
Mm-hmm.
And two, maybe when it comes to your gender,
mm-hmm.
like, maybe you should wait till you're an adult.
Yeah.
And at that point we can have another conversation.
Yeah.
But if you're a child or a teen, I think it's good to just say, let's give it time.
Yeah.
Once you're older, if you want to have this conversation again, and we can sit down and talk about, you know,
mm-hmm.
this stuff, we can.
Yeah.
But it's hard to have that conversation when you're at a younger point, because you haven't grown to adapt to your body yet, and so it's easy to get
mm-hmm.
dragged into this delusion of
difference. Naomi, were you going to say something?
I think we help someone in this situation by helping them adapt, like,
mm-hmm.
their concept of gender to their sex.
Yeah.
The one that's the sex is stable. The conversation, and then we mold the gender to the sex.
Yeah. So the solution of, if you believe that the sex is fixed and the gender, and you're struggling with dysphoria, therapy, counseling. know what I'm saying? You would talk through the issue. Now, if you believe that the gender is fixed but the sex is not, what's the solution?
Surgery.
It'd be surgery. It'd be hormones. It'd be biological, hormonal, chemical, surgical intervention to conform the sex to your gender, right? So the reason why this is modern is we now have the technology to apparently do that. But can you ever conform the sex to the gender completely? Because every cell in your body is sexed. You know what I'm saying? You can make it appear that way, pass that way, change other people's perception. Yeah.
You would even have to change your bone structure because, like, your pelvis.
Yeah.
There's a male pelvis and there's a female pelvis.
Yeah.
So, like, and I remember hearing about, I don't remember where I heard this, but there's, like, this scientist or something, or this biologist, and he either, I don't remember if it was the biologist who said this or if it was the audience who was, like, either laughing at him or something, but he was talking about, like, the gender differences with the skeletons,
mm-hmm.
and people were just, like, laughing at him or something. Or maybe it was the opposite. I don't remember, but it was just, like,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's completely different. Now, can you inject a woman with a lot of hormones or inject a man with a lot of hormones and have some different changes? Yeah, I mean, that is possible. But it doesn't change the cell structure at the default. It has to be constant medical, chemical, surgical. And even in transition surgery, there's still, like, surgical maintenance that has to take place, right? So that becomes the issue, right? When we want to help people, do we ask them to change their sex or change their gender, right? And I would say that, you know, this whole line that we have here is really arbitrary. Gender and sex are together. Yeah.
I think, too, this is like many other issues that we talk about where one way to help them is to realize it's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is a symptom
yeah.
of their greatest problem. And so there's a certain sense of loving them, knowing that the real problem is their, you know,
mm-hmm.
the need for the gospel, the need to be redeemed. And
mm-hmm.
then transgender is one of all the different ways that we're depraved and God can
yeah.
sanctify and change us.
Yeah.
I think about when in Ephesians where it talks about building up the body so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, human cunning, craftiness, deceitful schemes. And so there's a sense in which, and he talked about there, speaking truth
mm-hmm.
that no one is willing to speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, I think about kids, people are scared to just say obvious truth about biology
mm-hmm.
and sex. And so speaking the truth in a way that
mm-hmm.
isn't attacking them.
Yeah, well.
I think, like, too, it's contradictory in so many ways of where gender is fluid, but they strictly identify as him, her, he, she, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so in that of being like, well, if it's fluid, but if your child is preferring toys that are typical to the opposite sex, well, then they must be a boy. Well, that's putting a lot of gender, like, stereotypes in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, the truth of, like, you're made in the image of God, and male and female, there's a wide view of what femininity and masculinity look like through the lens of God. And
yeah.
so, like, my little girl who loves guns is not a boy, right? Like, she
Ooh.
Is a girl who likes guns, and that's okay because she's made in the image of God. Like, it doesn't make her a boy because she's not carrying around a baby doll. And so
what kind of guns does she
All kinds.
Taking care of baby.
But it's like, they put these gender stereotype roles that really confine it. Instead of letting a female have some masculine traits, or vice versa, that are stereotypical
yeah.
to those things and really fully encompass how God created them. Like, it's okay for some girls to be stronger, or
yeah.
like, they really just funnel down how
yeah.
God created or what they think male and female should be
mm-hmm.
instead of how God actually created it to reflect him
okay.
in each sex. So
yeah.
I just think, like, it's very
contradictory to say,
yeah,
don't assume, but also these are the toys for girls and boys.
Yes.
And this is how we predict it.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard thing. Yeah. We'll go Judy, then Will. Judy? Yeah.
I'm going to say a praise here. I praise God that I was born in the 40s and raised in the 50s, where I didn't have all this mass confusion. When I was a teenager, I knew who I was, and there was never a question or a doubt about it, and my parents knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised that way, and
yeah,
I didn't have to question
yeah
my gender or my sex, either one, because I was who I was, and
mm-hmm
I just praise God I didn't, I'm not a child being
yeah
raised in this day
yeah
and age.
Yeah. Will?
Yeah, everybody said it was right. The disintegration of the family has allowed this, so you feel like, oh, I have a problem, maybe it's because I have the wrong gender.
Yeah.
And then society, especially today, reinforces that
yeah
with affirmations of, this is your answer, you need to, you know,
yeah
take hormones, and that will fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But like Scott said, that's not, you know, it's a heart issue.
Yeah.
I think too, speaking the truth in love, you have to do it. You have to be able to stand up and confront in love, because you're trying to save their life, really.
Yeah.
And giving them maybe some information, like people who have come out of this struggle,
yeah,
like Chloe Cole, I don't know if you've heard of her, she testified
yeah
before Congress. Other people who, that I don't know if you guys have seen, In His Image, it's a great video documentary about this whole subject.
Mm-hmm.
It really shows people who have come out and they
yeah
explain it and talk about why they went into that. They're trying to fill this need that they
yeah
have, and it's of course God.
Okay, we're gonna do Lisa. Yeah,
yeah, I have an English question. Is this words like it's always been two words, gender and sex, or they've been separated? Because I was like, at the start I was wondering why it's not clicking in my head.
Yeah.
Until I went to translator, and in my language it's like only one word.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Two. Yeah.
So it's like, why is
it? It's always been the same word for me, gender and
yeah
sex were synonyms.
I think the meaning behind it has gradually, I mean, like Latin genus, so like the thing about melody, comes from that. And I think that, like we were talking about in the 50s, as the culture changed, the meaning behind what gender was started to be used differently
yes
to describe
yeah
other terms. They would say they have a different gender identity, they have a different, and so
yeah
over the decades, as behavior and psychology has changed.
Yeah, because like if I put gender, that's the same word. I put sex, the same
yeah
translation, mm-hmm, and then of course there will be all those categories.
Yeah, these. I mean, I've always, like, even in biology, what's the gender? What's the sex? I mean,
mm-hmm,
you don't have transgender penguins.
Yeah.
What?
But I do think one thing that I'm noticing is that kind of thinking about Miranda's comment about like asserting. There's a blend of those who are trying to assert like an alternate view of gender and sexuality, but there's a lot of people that think about the disintegration of truth, family, what is marriage, what is sexuality.
Yeah.
They're just
yeah
totally cut off, and there's not really a definition for anything. And so they
yeah
don't, oh, it's not necessarily that they're affirming one belief, it's just they don't want to be tied to a particular thing, and they're really
yeah
you,
like
it's
truly
impossible
to
kind of nail down
yeah
what do you mean, what do you actually think,
yeah
how do you define this, and so I think that's one of the biggest parts, is that it's sometimes focused more on the rejection
yeah
and not really an affirmation, and
yeah
so kind of in that vacuum
it's a negative,
it's
negative
trying
yeah
to live by a negative, and so there's this vacuum of like what does it mean not knowing.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do Sean, then Alakai, then we'll try to move on. Yeah.
I have a really probably naive question, but is this an international problem, or is this really in the U.S.?
It's really a Western problem.
Yeah, Europe's dealing with it.
You guys want to hear kind of the term sociologists use now? It's weird. So is Western educated, what's the I?
I don't know.
Industrialized, so Western educated, industrialized, rich, and developed.
What?
Yeah, so that would be a weird country. So Europe would be weird. So it's Western educated, industrialized, rich, and developed. So this is an issue for weird countries. Like, they don't have this in Africa. In fact, we watch this interview where this African news anchor sits down with a lesbian advocate and he just says, "Why are you gay?" What are you like? What are you getting? But they're not a weird country. Okay, yeah, one more than we got.
I'm going to say all of Europe because where I grew up, so
Bulgaria?
Yeah.
So
like it's more in the west of Europe. But I know you put like there's.
Yeah,
like,
so it's not developed.
Yeah, but
and not industrial.
I heard you say Europe. So I was like
Western Europe, yeah.
Western,
people
Western
that all fit into this category.
Yeah.
So Western, educated, industrialized, rich, and developed. So that's the issue.
The U.S. is more militant.
Yeah.
Even in the super, like in Spain had gay marriage long before the U.S. did, but there's something about the U.S. where it's way more in your face and way more militant than other places we've been, even in Western Europe.
Yeah.
That's true.
What about Canada, compared to Canada, do you know?
I'm trying to go to Canada.
I hear that great maple syrup. I hear that great maple syrup, though. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about why talk about transgenderism. So I got these statistics. As of 2016, and I kind of confirmed, like, the data and stuff like that is still relatively the same, according to my estimate. So, as of 2016, okay, transgendered individuals comprise approximately 2.2 to 0.3% of the population. Recent estimates state that 700,000 individuals in the U.S. identify as transgender, though some speculate there is more. In fact, the percentage of Americans who self-identify as LGBT has risen from 3.9% in 2016 to 5.6% in 2020. And those are our most recent statistics. Almost a 70% increase. During the same span, self-identified transgendered individuals has climbed from 0.6% of adults, has climbed to 0.6% of all adults, so it's basically more than doubled. With 1.8% of Generation Z, born 1997 to 2002, and 1.2% of millennials, born between 1981 and 1996, claiming a transgender identity. So it has shot up. Does anybody know transgender individual? Right.
I have just observed that my statistics would probably be around 0.5 to 1%. So year to year, I usually have between 100 and 150 students.
Uh-huh.
And the last 5 years, I've always had at least one.
Yeah. Out of those. So that's kind of bearing itself out.
That kind of.
Yeah.
That's what you'd see at the high school.
Yeah. So it has climbed, and you do see more cases of it. I've known a young lady who thought she was transgender, you know, during junior, and this is a pattern I've seen on multiple occasions, thought they were transgender in junior high, made peace with puberty, and now they're back to their birth gender. So that's often something that takes place. So in spite of the small size, advocates of this minority make big demands on society at large. Society at large. You guys ever been in the new high school and seen the remodel? Or been to the new?
Yeah.
How about the new airport terminal in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I remember looking for the men's and women's signs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where do you go to the bathroom? Then I just see this large toilet. It's just a large toilet. So I go in there. You know, like, is this the bathroom? And then I kind of open these self-contained, like, office cubicles.
Yeah, it's so weird.
And then I go out and I'm washing my hands next to a couple of women. And it just seems like, This is a ritual that I'm not used to sharing with you, ladies.
We were in the airport this week, yeah. And yeah, I was like, this is the first time I've washed my hands next to my wife in a public room.
But they still have women.
Yeah,
there's
still
women's
and men.
They're still, yeah.
Yeah, they're
very hard to
find. Yeah, when you check in, they're there. But yeah, so I just kept, remember going there. And then I walked Jake through the new high school, and I see the mixed-use bathroom. So it's the same kind of bathroom concept.
Mm-hmm. It's like a bunch of porta-potties lined up. Like
yeah.
You're at a
yeah.
cross-country race, and all the porta-potties are
lined up. Oh, yeah.
That's what
yeah,
I'm
so the common sink, right?
I think one of the key themes is we live at a time where you are more valuable and your voice is more worthwhile if you are a victim
yeah.
of something. And so everybody is well, so desperate.
We'll hold that thought because we're going to get to the victim part later. Okay. But so with the mixed-use bathrooms, part of that is kind of due to new governmental policy. And it's,
yeah.
there was a Dear Colleague letter put out by the Obama administration in May 2016. And it says this: the school may provide separate facilities on the basis of sex, but must allow transgender students access to such facilities consistent with their gender identity. A school may not require transgender students to use facilities inconsistent with their gender identity or to use individual user facilities when other students are not required to do so. The school may, however, make individual user options available to all students who voluntarily seek additional privacy. And thus we have like these unisex bathrooms that are available. I'm not sure what
yeah.
they do with locker rooms yet.
They had that
they
first before the science wing edition.
Yeah.
They had it treated like a individual use that a person could use if they
yeah.
didn't use the markers or the things.
And the individual one, that's not for the transgender person. That's for the person who's uncomfortable.
It could be if
it
the
could
transgender
be.
Person is uncomfortable, right?
Yeah,
so
it could
whoever,
be the transgender, but
whoever they request, I would like to use this stuff.
But you cannot ghettoize a transgender person and force them into that.
Yeah.
And most of those are the ones that want to go because that's their right. They're going to go into the women's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We put locks on ours at Wolf Creek. Where me going in, I could lock it. Even though there was two stalls, I could lock it.
Oh.
And so then they just have to wait. You know,
yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of the new way of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So according to the guidance to school interpretation of Title IX, who decides their gender?
I guess the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what it comes down to, right? Because, I mean, with this whole gender binary, I mean, who's... Because as you kind of brought up, like, the stereotypical thing, like, Josie likes to play with guns, right? Well, that could still be a different gender, you know what I'm saying? So the people don't want to be too fixed on the definition of gender, and so really who defines it? Well, it's really up to the individual. You can't have like a team of people declaring your gender because that kind of defeats the whole point.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, specifically children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A child.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the potential societal impact of transgenderism based off of that? I mean, we kind of talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Architecture.
It's confused kids a lot in high school, and not just on the concept of gender, but just in general,
yeah.
the things they like. Kind of to the note with Josie and guns, it's like the things they like, they're no longer just a thing that they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be categorized somewhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is this kind of the newer language. I remember early on, like ministry in Kansas City in like 2009, this problem was showing its face, but it didn't have language to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot more simpler because
yeah.
it was just, I feel like I should be this
yeah.
when you talk about it. And then after the Caitlyn Jenner thing,
mm-hmm.
it became, we saw it a lot more
mm-hmm.
with all this new language, and it got real confusing, and the kids were way
yeah.
confused. And
yeah, like I, how many of you ladies would say I was a tomboy?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now if you're a tomboy this day, yeah, you weren't. Okay. If you're a tomboy this day and age, right?
Like, yeah.
What would be the conclusion?
That you
am I really a man?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's boiling down to, is like, if I like things that are particularly masculine, women will be like, well, does that make me a man?
Yeah. And then kind of on the flip side, you know, man, I don't like monster trucks in football. Am I a woman? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like poetry. What does that say about me, right? I like to cook.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so that's where this gets really kind of, you don't have like the safety to explore different things that you like. There's like these unwritten rules about what you can and can't do, otherwise you're this, and it's convoluted,
I just think it does, when you don't have an identity defined by made in God's image, it really sets up, like, that's the vacuum that a lot of this, so there's a sexual experience and their sexual pleasure is such a divine gift that a lot of people in one way or another are defined by their sexual experience, their sexual identity, and so it's super sexualized, everything is sexualized.
I think the deepest societal impact, at least that I see in our generation, being part of that generation, is like the lack of respect for authority. So there's no authority because there's no God to tell me gender I am. So let alone when we go into high school, nobody's going to tell me where I can go or can't go to the bathroom and then into the workforce. When I do need to show up to work, there's just like this trickle down of there's no ultimate authority and I can do whatever I want.
All right, so I realize that clock is not 7:55. It's 10:02. So we'll just have, well, you can talk to me. I hang out here after. We're going to continue this great conversation next week, though, okay? But I do have to let people go. So let me pray. Okay. Well, Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to talk about just a topic pertinent to all of us, very shaping and revealing, and I thank you for all the input that we've received. And I pray that in the midst of all this, as we figure out our own world, that we will have compassion on those who do struggle with this issue, and that we will be able to know how to minister to them with tenderness and compassion and as much understanding as we're able. I pray that the rest of the service will exalt you in Christ's name. Amen.